Well, the Lord is amazing, isn't He? And it's so good to know the Lord and be serving God. And it's been a long, long time, but I still vaguely remember what it's like to not have the Lord and to just be struggling on your own. Much better this way. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray once more. Father, we just thank You for the presence of the Lord in this place. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Lord, we are so grateful for Your blessing upon our lives. I pray tonight, Lord, for those that are hurting or struggling, those that are lonely, those that are sad, those that are stressed. Lord, I just pray that tonight they'll find strength and comfort and faith. And I pray, Father, that tonight we would just be challenged, encouraged, fired up, and ready to go, Lord, to do something for You, or to do something with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, tonight the message is come and go. That's the message of Jesus in the Gospels. Come and go. He invites us to come. Amen. Then He commands us to go. It's a come and go kind of thing. Amen. Well, you know, it's not like those come and go parties. That's not the way it works. And, you know, I heard that friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. I'm not confessing that. Amen. But it is as simple as this. Jesus invites all of us. He invites the world to come to Him. But when we come to Him, then He sends us out so that others can know. I know some people think church is a come and go thing. It's a, you know, it's like they come and get a little relief from their guilt and then they go. No commitment, no real dedication, no faithfulness. That's another message, all right? The message today is this basic message of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels that He invites all to come. The Gospel is His grace. It's His free salvation for all. It's good news that God forgives you, and that He loves you, and He wants a relationship with you. And the Bible says it's for whosoever will. There's an important word in that phrase. Will. You have a free will. And there's some false teaching out there today that says that only certain ones can come, that God's already picked and the rest of you are going to hell. I want you to know that's a lie from the pit of hell to get people. That's a trick of Satan to get people into hell. It's for whosoever will. If you'll choose to believe in Him, it's for you. Whoever. Whosoever. It's for all of us. Amen. Whoever will come. Jesus says in John 7:37 and 38, if anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. Let him come to Me. You see, if there's an emptiness in the heart, if there's a void, if there's a lack, something missing on the inside, Jesus invites us to come. He says, He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Anybody thirsty? Anybody looking for something? I'm telling you, if they believe in Jesus, they can be satisfied. The next verse says He was talking about the Holy Spirit who was not yet given, was going to be given. I'm telling you, it is the Holy Spirit that truly satisfies that thirst, that void, that emptiness on the inside of every person. People that are searching and seeking, looking, longing for something more. He says, come. In fact, it says that He said it with a loud voice on that day. He said, come to Me. Anybody that's thirsty, come to Me. That's His cry to the world. Come to Me. I believe that God made us that way, that there's an emptiness on the inside that only He can truly fulfill. And people try, to fill it with so many other things. They try to dull it. They try to numb it. But nothing else can ever satisfy except a relationship with God. He tells a parable in Luke chapter 14 to show us how much the Father wants people to come. I want to read it to you. It's Luke 14, verses 16 through 24. He said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper, invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to go test them.' And another said, 'I just got a new boat, and I'm going to take it out on the lake today, first time. I ask you to have me excused.' Till another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. One of the kids has a runny nose.' So therefore, the servant came and reported those things to his master. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there's room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" I'm telling you, Jesus wants everybody to come. Nobody is excluded except for those who rejected him. Those that rejected him, he said, they're not getting in. But I'm telling you, Jesus doesn't exclude anybody. He wants everybody to come. Even the outcast of society, even the ones that nobody else wants, even the ones that, listen, have nothing to offer, Jesus wants them. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's a lot of religion in this world that's just looking for people that can help their religion. I'm telling you, Jesus wants them all. He wants even the ones who have nothing to offer. Those who are weak, those who are sick, those that nobody else wants. He invites the tired and the weary, the stressed, the heavy laden, the burdened, those who feel the weight of the world pressing down on them. He invites us to come. Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me." Oh, what a wonderful invitation to us as believers, that when we are burdened down, when we're feeling stressed, when we're anxious, or when life is just too much, he says, "Come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me, I'll give you rest." What an invitation. We live in this weary, stressed out world. I hear people all the time talking about how tired they are. One of our teenagers came in a little early tonight for the youth worship practice, and I said, "How are you doing?" They said, "I'm tired." I'm just telling you, it's epidemic. Lots of tired people. You're not alone. Lots of people feeling stress. But Jesus invites us to come. See, whatever problems, whatever maybe weighing on you, just the responsibilities of life, maybe sickness in your life or your family, or just some sorrow in your life, whatever it might be, he invites you to come. You know, some people say that Christianity is just for the weak and the foolish. Well, it's for the strong and the smart too. Amen. We all at some time, we need the Lord to lift that heavy load, to take that burden off of us. Because I tell you, all of us come to those times when life's just too much and we need the Lord. And He invites us to come. You know, He even invites the little children. Matthew 19:14, He said, "Let the little children come to Me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." See, I believe the Lord is with outstretched arms to the world. And He's saying, come. That's what He wants the church to do. He wants us to declare to the world, come to Me. Amen. As the body of Christ, we got to do that. He challenges us with an invitation to come to those who would be His disciples. Matthew 4:19. He says, follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. In the NIV, it's, come, follow Me. Now think about this. He's not inviting us to go for a walk. When He says, come, follow Me, He's inviting us to go on a life journey with Him. He's inviting us to learn His way of life. He's inviting us to be like Him, to do what He does. And He says, come, follow Me. What a great invitation. Inviting us to live a life of love, to serve others, to help others, to minister to others. He says, come to all of those, listen, who will call out to Him in faith. Remember when in Matthew 14, the disciples are out in the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water. And one of them has a real bright idea. Peter says, Lord, if it's You, bid Me to come to You on the water. Listen, there's no precedent for that. Nobody else has ever done it before. Where did Peter get this bright idea? Lord, if it's You, bid Me to come to You on the water. And you know what Jesus' word to him was? It's pretty simple. Come. Now, I got two things to say about that. First of all, I will give you the clarification. You need to hear from God before you get out of the boat. Amen. You know, when you're praying about doing something, starting a new business or jumping into a new ministry, or maybe you're going to get engaged, whatever it is. I tell you, big things in life, you need to hear from God before you get out of the boat. You need to hear Jesus say, come. But I also want you to see this, that Peter wasn't content to just sit in the boat with the same old thing. And somehow in his heart, there was some faith that rose. And he said, Lord, if it's You, bid Me to come to You on the water. And I'm just telling you, when you rise up in faith, when you step out, when you're willing to believe God, and you put your faith out there, Jesus will say, come. Now, if you know the rest of the story, you know he got his eyes on the wind and the waves, and he started to sink, and he had to say, Lord, save me. But he's still the only guy besides Jesus that we know of that ever walked on water. And it all happened because he said, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. Simple message of Jesus to the world, and to the lost, to the hurting. He says, come. He invites us to come when we're sick. Oh, you see that all through the Gospels. So many times that Jesus healed them all. He invites us to come when we're burdened down with life. He invites us to come when we need forgiveness. He invites us to come when we're in trouble, when we have needs, when we're thirsty. He invites us, whatever our weakness, whatever our problems, He invites us to come. And then he says, go. Church, we need to get this. We need to understand this. Because it's not all about go. But it's not all about just coming either. In fact, so much of the church world today is so focused on itself, they've forgotten what Jesus is all about. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to bless me and make my life great. Well, listen, he'll bless you. He'll make your life great. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And church, we can't ever forget that. The church was never supposed to be a club. No, it's always supposed to be reaching out, always growing, always ministering to those in our world. He says, go share the good news. Go make disciples. Go into all the world. Go to the highways and the byways. Now, I'm not saying that we all need to become missionaries and we all need to go stand on the street corner and hand out tracts. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, we need to have this attitude that it's all about us reaching the lost, that we care whether or not they come. We need to get our attitude right and keep our heart right towards the lost. You know, in this time we live in, there's so much of this us and them mentality. You can't reach anybody if you got a us and them mentality. And Jesus didn't have that mentality. That mentality comes from a religious, pharisaical attitude. Church, we got to guard against that we never get that attitude, but it's always us reaching out to them, not an us and them mentality. And it really has to start right here in church and the way we even our attitude about church. Because if we just see church as a opportunity for us to be blessed, then we're really missing it. We need to see it as a time, as a place where people come to get saved. If one life is changed, that's more important than if all the rest of us came and we heard the best music we've ever heard and we had some visiting preacher who's really funny and really good, and we all got Holy Ghost doodads. Whoo! One person getting saved is more important than all the rest of that. That's the truth. One person, and heaven has a party. Church, we got to keep that heart, keep that attitude. What's really important? There's people that don't even know the Lord. And you know, this becomes so cliche and just, yeah, we know. They're going to hell without the Lord. They're looking at eternity without the Lord. But even in the right here, right now, no matter what problems you have and what you're going through it with the Lord. They're trying to do life without the Lord. And I'm just telling you, we need to get our priorities right. Yes, we come to Him. We come to Him and He lifts our burden. He forgives us. He heals us. He blesses us. He says, you freely receive, now freely give. We got to be willing to go. We got to share what we have. You know, we should come to church expecting to have an encounter with God and expecting to be ministered to through the Word of God. Amen. But as mature believers, we also ought to have an expectancy of seeing people saved, seeing people getting healed, seeing people's life changed, seeing people getting right with God. We have to communicate the gospel in a way that those people can understand it. Now, I'm not going to take a long time to talk about this, but I just want to make the point that, you know, if you're a mature believer, It ought to just absolutely turn you on when lost people or people who are away from God come and get right with God. And we need to get rid of that mentality that's so common in our culture. People who have been serving the Lord for 40 years, hearing sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon and teaching after teaching, and not just Sundays and Wednesdays, but watching TBN and on and on and on and on. And yet, they're more concerned about them getting some new thing than somebody else hearing the simple gospel and getting saved. No, we need to keep our heart right, attitude right, and it starts right here in the church, that we're all about this, that we want to reach people, we want to help people, we want to see people's lives changed. And that's our goal, and that's what we're about. Not doing maintenance ministry. Change lives. John 4:31 through 36 is the story where Jesus has been ministering to the woman at the well. And in verse 31, it says, "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat which you do not know.' Therefore, the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' And Jesus says, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" And I think there's a challenge there for us who are following Jesus. Because what is our food? Shouldn't it be to do the will of him who sent us and to finish his work? And then he gives us our key verse for our series we're in on Sunday right now. "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest." He challenges us to change our vision, to look up, to see beyond ourselves and to see a world that needs to come to the Savior. Amen. You know, usually when Christians become dissatisfied, I said usually, I'm leaving you an out there. Usually when Christians become dissatisfied, it's because they've gotten their eyes on the wrong things. Usually when Christians are dissatisfied, they're not involved much in ministry. They aren't really reaching out to others. They're not seeing lives change. They become dissatisfied with their experience. And you know what usually happens when people become dissatisfied? They blame somebody. Blame the church, blame their spouse, they blame somebody else. But I want to tell you, there's meat. Jesus says, "I have food that you don't know." And when we're involved in ministry, when we're being used of the Lord, you don't get dissatisfied. You stay fired up. Amen. So I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you tonight. Come and get filled up. Come and get peace. Come and get joy. Come and get forgiveness when you need it. Come and get healed. Come and get set free. Come and get restored. Come and get refreshed. And go. Amen. So many others need what you have. A mature believer gets their greatest joy in seeing others come to him. You know why I think that? Because in heaven, they have a party when one sinner repents. It's Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read it. We've read it several times in the last few weeks on Sunday. But it says very plainly that in heaven, there is rejoicing around the throne over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, I'm just telling you, church, we got to get that heart where we want to see people saved. We want to see people get right with God. You know, from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus relied on others to go and tell others to come. John chapter 1, verse 40 says, one of the two who heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. I know that it's not always that easy to bring somebody to the Lord, but you know, sometimes it is. Jesus says the harvest is ready. Sometimes it's just that easy. And even if it's not that easy, shouldn't we do our best? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated as stone. The following day, Jesus went to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Sometimes that's all you got to say. Come and see. But church, we got to take it as our responsibility. Not that it's our responsibility to convince them that Jesus is the Christ, but it's our responsibility to go and to invite them, to go and to tell them what we've experienced, to go and tell them what God's done in our life. You know, I mentioned that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, a little bit later in John chapter 4, verse 28, it says, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Now, I want to remind you who this woman was, this Samaritan woman who had had five husbands. She's got quite a track record. She must have been a looker, I guess. I don't know. But she had had five husbands, and now she's living with a man. Well, who would listen to that woman? Well, evidently, the whole town listened to her. I'm just telling you, she came and received something from Jesus, and then she went, and she told others, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. See, she just told what she experienced. Has the Lord done anything for you? Well, three of you. That's good. Y'all need to tell the rest of them. I'm telling you, Jesus is good. He'll do great things in your life. Amen. Has the Lord forgiven you? I got you all on that one. Come on now. Has He healed you? Has He set you free? I'm telling you, has God given you peace? Has He set you free from depression or sorrow, given you joy? Listen, if He's blessed you, you need to tell somebody. You need to share it with somebody else. Don't keep it to yourself. Verse 39 of that same chapter, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. I'm almost done. I'm just going to lay this out here, all right? If we are comfortable with others not knowing the Lord, how well do we really know the Lord? How close are we to Him? Because, listen, He wants them to come. But they won't come unless we go. Paul writes in Romans, how can they believe unless they send a preacher, unless they hear? And how are they going to hear unless somebody's sent? But you know what? It's not just about the mission field. It's about your neighbors and your friends and your acquaintances. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. His call to come and follow him to Peter and Andrew, it went like this. It's Mark 1:17. He said, follow me. and I will make you fishers of men. You will become fishers of men. Now, I want to go back to that parable of the banquet again. Y'all remember we were talking about how that Jesus tells this parable, and he says that the master tells his servants to go out and just get everybody, get the lame and the maimed and the blind. Bring them all in. Bring them all in. They brought those in, and he says, go out and get some more. He says, compel them to come in. We came to him. But you see, once we come to the Lord, we're no longer the ones who are the ones being brought in. We become the servants in the parable. And what did he say to the servants? He says, go out and compel them to come in. In the NIV, it says, make them come in. Now, I don't think you're actually supposed to make them come in. I think the NIV got maybe just a little carried away there. But it says, compel them. Have you compelled anybody to come to church lately? You wouldn't want to go to church, would you? I didn't think so. My pastor told me to ask, so I... Have you compelled anybody? I'm just telling you, church, we got to get the heart for this, that we really want this, that we're, with all our heart, that we feel what the Lord feels for those people, and we want to reach them, we want to help them, and we want to compel them to come in to experience what we have. They won't ever feel compelled to come unless we feel compelled to go. And it's not a, listen, if it's not a big deal to us, we won't have much impact. But if we're compelled, if we feel like we just have to get them to come, we have to get them in church, we have to get them to Jesus, I want to tell you, that's going to impact people. It's going to make a difference. I hope that tonight in this message, nobody feels, you know, condemned and under this load of guilt because, oh, I'm not a good enough witness. I want to challenge you tonight to get the heart of the Lord about this, that as we come and we're blessed and we're refreshed, that then we take that out and we go and we bless others and help others and we invite them to come. Paul wanted to reach the Israelites with such a desperate passion that he says he has great sorrow. It's Romans 9, 1 through 3. He says, I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. What if we had great sorrow and continual grief in our heart over the lost, over our neighbors, our family, our friends who don't know the Lord? Great sorrow. Listen, most Christians got more sorrow because the Cowboys didn't win a game than they do over the lost. I'm telling it right, aren't I? I'm telling you, church, we got to get the right heart here, that we care so much that we feel compelled to go. Now, this next thing that he says here is this, sounds, you know, crazy over the top, but he says, got to pay special attention to the wording here because you can take this and get an error here, but he says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. And there's a lot of different interpretations of that passage, because what it appears to say to some people is like Paul was wishing he wasn't even saved, and that's not really what he was saying, but he was saying because of this anguish and this sorrow that he has for the Israelites, he says, I could wish that I was accursed from Christ so that they could be saved. He's talking about that in his heart, he wants them to be saved so bad that it's like he would almost, if he could, he can't, but if he could, he'd almost just take their place so that they could be saved. How bad do we want people to be saved? How bad do we want people to get back right with God? You know, and I say that because so many people that we meet and talk to, they say, oh, I've been in church, I know the Lord. But they're not even serving God. They don't really pray much. You know, the only time they pray is when something terrible happens. They don't really have a relationship with God. They need the Lord in their life. And I'm telling you, church, we need to get those people in. We need to reach out to them. We need to not be content until they're serving the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time. I know you can't make them. But church, we got to be compelling them to come. And if we don't feel compelled to get them here, they're not going to feel compelled to come. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help us to have your heart and have a burden for those that don't know you. Lord, that when we see people struggling, when we see families breaking apart, when we see people with great needs in their life, when we see the sick, Lord, when we see those who are lonely, and we see people who are just so stressed out and eaten up with the problems of this world, Lord, I just pray that you give us such compassion and a compelling desire to share the Lord with them. I pray, Father, that you would show us, Lord, how we can reach them. And Lord, I just pray tonight in Jesus' name that you begin something in this group that's here tonight, Lord, a compelling desire to reach people, to reach out. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I believe, Lord, I believe we're going to see a great harvest. I believe, Lord, that we're going to see fruit. I believe that these who are sitting here tonight, Lord, are going to have an impact on the lives around them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe that some of those they've been praying for many years, I believe they're coming in the name of Jesus. I believe this is the day of harvest. The harvest is white. It's ready. I believe it, Lord. And I believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, stand with me. I'm going to let you be dismissed in just a moment. But if you need prayer tonight, maybe you would like somebody to just pray with you about a burden, a need in your life. As I was preaching the first part of this message, maybe the Lord just spoke to you about a particular area in your life. And I want you to know that if you have need in your life, here's a simple word. He says, come. He loves you and he cares. And he'll help you. He says, come. But I also want to pray with you if you're here tonight and you're saying, the Lord's blessed me and I just want to be used of him in a greater way. And I want somebody to pray with me. I want to believe God for that I be used of him in a greater way. I want you to come for prayer as well. I'm just going to dismiss the congregation. But if you need prayer, you go ahead and come on down. I'll be here and there'll be other prayer partners as well. Amen. Lord bless you.